there's a reason that the line is just out the door or around the block in their drive-through day in and day out. That it's not just that they have good food, but there's a whole experience when you go to Chick-fil-A and you're treated like somebody who is part of the family.
What does it mean to be a business with purpose? Whether you mow lawns or make jewelry or sell chicken, it's about serving people well. Our guest today devotes her life to highlighting people, brands, and businesses that are making a difference in the world. Today, we are thrilled to have Molly Stillman on the podcast as she reminds us that we are created with a purpose for a purpose. I'm Allison Storm, and I'm joined by Jim Mann. Jim, first, real quick question. Has anyone ever called you Jimmy?
If somebody calls me Jimmy, that's from my Maryland crowd, because everybody in Maryland when I was growing up called me Jimmy.
Ah. Hey, Jimmy. All right. Do you like that or no?
No, because it makes me feel like a little kid.
Okay. Well, maybe you're familiar with this other Jimmy, Jimmy Collins. Does that ring a bell?
We're like best friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's the retired president of Chick-fil-A. He retired in 2001 after 33 years with the company. But way back in 1971, at the very first Chick-fil-A operator seminar, Jimmy said this: build the business, guard the brand, take care of your people. What counts in this business is not how much money we make or how much chicken we sell. What counts is the difference we make in the lives of others.
That won't fly.
I think it's done pretty well for them.
Oh, yeah. I guess it has, hasn't it?
And I think that sharing that quote is the perfect way to lead into our guest today. She's a Diet Coke loving, jean jacket wearing wife and mother of two. She hosts the amazing Business with Purpose podcast and blogs at stillbeingmolly.com. Molly Stillman, thanks for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Not even gonna lie, this is like the highlight of my summer, probably.
Yay!
Wow.
Well, that means a lot considering you've hit a lot of milestones recently. First of all, I want to congratulate you on celebrating 4 years of podcasting.
Thank you.
You recently surpassed the 200th episode milestone.
Yes, I know. I was really excited and just could not believe that it feels like it went by so fast. But then my husband and I were talking about how when I started the podcast in the summer of 2016, like how different life was in the summer of 2016. Like we were so young and naive. We had so much ahead of us. We had no idea.
Yeah. And we thought life was tough back then. We didn't know.
We didn't even know. We didn't even know what was coming for us. So yeah, no, it's been really exciting. And it's so much fun. And I got to have you on the show. So obviously it was amazing.
Oh yeah, that was so fun. She had me on to talk about crowdsourcing kids, which is a project that I'm a part of, and just helping drill wells in India and get kids involved in it. So it's super cool. But what was it that made you want to devote your life to telling stories revolving around this idea of being a business with purpose?
You know, that's a great question. And I've thought a lot about that over the years. And because I had kind of an unconventional path to getting to where I am, but that's just always how God works. And I guess I am the epitome of like God working in my life in very mysterious ways, where along the way I was going, okay, what is happening right here? So I guess the short answer would be, I've always just had a heart for caring for others. And I have very much a heart for the injustices of the world. I definitely 100% got that from my mom. And she really passed that down to me. And so that is just something that has always been in my blood. And being somebody who's not afraid to stand up for what I believe is right. And as I got older And I realized so many of my passions began to merge. I actually have been heavily involved in the anti-human trafficking movement for about 11 years now, and started just, I attended a, I guess it's 10 years now. So, cause it was in 2010. So I had attended a workshop and, you know, documentary screening at my church, and really began to learn about the injustices of human trafficking around the world and here in the United States. And so from there, I started to learn as much as I could about this global issue that I felt like at the time, nobody was really talking about. And when I began to kind of go out from there, I started to realize that so many issues in our world are interconnected. Everything from global poverty and hunger and starvation and disease, human trafficking, so many things of the global issues are truly interconnected. And when you really, really, really start to peel back the layers of this incredibly complex onion, one of the root causes of all of these things that are happening in our world today is the lack of opportunity and lack of access to a job. When you really, really boil it down, global poverty in so many ways could be severely reduced or eliminated if we paid people a fair and living wage and gave people the opportunity to earn an income for their families. So when I began to even learn even more about this, I started learning about, the way that this kind of manifests itself in the fashion industry and the harm that fast fashion has on people and planet. Everything we buy is touched by a human hand. And there's this misconception that I even see, like I saw a thread on Facebook about this the other day, where there's still this misconception that like machines make the clothes we wear. That is pretty much completely false. People make the clothes you wear. Yes, they might use a sewing machine, but there is a person sitting at that sewing machine making the clothes we wear. It's not just robots making the clothes that we wear. And so when you have all of these people in a supply chain making the clothes that we wear, that we're buying from, you know, Old Navy or Gap or H&M or Forever 21 for pennies on the dollar, there's no way that all the people in that supply chain can be paid fairly. And so again, I just started learning as much as I could. And it's an incredibly complex and nuanced issue. But then I began to look at the positive side of it. And I wanted to see, okay, well, who are the people out there that are making a difference, that are starting companies and running their businesses the right way, and they're taking care of their employees. They're ensuring that the people in their supply chains, from the farms to the factories to the sales floors, like that all of those people are taken care of. Who are those companies? And that's when I really just started to uncover all these amazing people, these amazing businesses and brands that are changing the world. They really, really are. And it sounds maybe a little, cliche or whatever, but truly these are people who are making lasting impact and lasting change. And I believe wholeheartedly in the power of story. And so I'd been talking about these issues on my blog, but the reality is that like pictures and the written word can only go so far. But when you hear an entrepreneur, or when you hear somebody tell their story and really talk about what they're doing in their business and what they're doing to make an impact, and you hear the impact in that story, it just is so profound and really can just go so much further. So that's kind of maybe even longer than I intended, but that's sort of the impetus for where all of this came from.
Milo, let's get back to the heart of the matter. You did all this without a co-host?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you imagine Allison without a co-host? I mean,
no. What would I do?
Don't put that in her head.
Are you applying for a job here, Jim? Are you like trying to get in?
Yeah, I think Molly's hinting around for me to do that, but I don't know. I have to think about it. Okay.
All right. I don't think you're hired quite yet. But so I'm just thinking, you know, you've done this here 200 times. You've interviewed these amazing people who are on incredible missions to impact the world. Can you highlight a couple of your favorites?
Oh, man. That is a fantastic question. You know, and I will say this. When I had started the show, I kind of went into it with one sort of idea in my head as to the type of person I was going to interview and the type of business I was going to highlight. But very quickly, I noticed how there were people in every field you can imagine impacting the world in some way, shape, or form. And they were using their God-given talents and skills and abilities. So, I mean, I've highlighted the, you know, the fair trade jewelry brands and clothing brands and shoe brands. But I've, you know, also interviewed, you know, Devin and Morgan Klein, who are the founders of Burn Boot Camp. They are, you know, a fitness, they're, you know, a fitness franchise that's, you know, going global. I mean, they have impacted so many people. I interviewed Kat Eccles, who's the founder of Clean Juice. If you've been to a Clean Juice around the world, and just the impact that they're having. You know, I interviewed, you know, people who are authors, speakers, wedding photographers. I interviewed somebody who is a optometrist and uses his, you know, his gift of optometry to impact those in developing nations who are suffering from blindness and different eye diseases. So I quickly uncovered so many different types of people who have, who are using their God-given talents to change the world in a positive way. So, but to answer your question, some of my personal favorites, probably number one, oh man, I don't know. This is so hard. So this is in no particular order. But one of the first one that comes to mind by far is Santiago Jimmy Mayado, and he is the president and CEO of Compassion International. That was just, hearing his story and how he got involved with Compassion and the work that Compassion is doing. That's an organization I have long loved and supported, and to really get even kind of a more behind the scenes look of the work Compassion is doing. That was just, oh, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Jim's a huge fan of Clean Juice, aren't you, Jim?
I am. The local one, they knew about my story with the battle of cancer. And so he brought over all kinds of free samples. And
they're
stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty close now.
Yeah, yeah, they're great people. Another one that was probably a personal favorite was comedian Kevin Fredericks. He's also known as Kev on Stage. He is hilarious. I just probably laughed the entire time that we talked, but he, you know, he is a Christian who is a comedian. So he always likes to differentiate that. Like, he's not a Christian comedian, because sometimes that he said that'll turn people off from his comedy, but he's a Christian who is a comedian. He's using his God-given gifts of laughter and making people laugh to bless other people. Also, Barrett Ward, the founder and CEO of Able. It's an amazing, amazing fashion brand based out of Nashville. Goodness, Rebecca Smith, the founder of Better Life Bags. They're based out of Hamtramck, Michigan. Gosh, so many incredible people that again, really are just, they're changing the world. They're changing the world.
What do you think makes Chick-fil-A a business with purpose?
Well, you know, it's funny because I have tried. I have been actually in the works of trying to get somebody from Chick-fil-A on the show, because they really, you know, Chick-fil-A is just a company that there's a reason that the line is just out the door or around the block in their drive-through day in and day out. That it's not just that they have good food, but there's a whole experience when you go to Chick-fil-A and you're treated like somebody who is part of the family, and, you know, the employees genuinely try to get to know you, and you see the impact, the positive impact that they're having on their surrounding communities and the way that they give back. And it really is just kind of this holistic approach to business that, like you said at the beginning with that quote from Jimmy, is just that it's not just this, it's not that they're just serving chicken. It really is this holistic approach to business and understanding that they're not going to put profit over people. They're not going to not want to make a profit. They're going to make a profit, but they're not going to sacrifice their people and the planet in order to make a profit.
Yes, I love that. So true too. And Jim, I don't know if you know this about Molly, that not only do we all share a love of Chick-fil-A, but she also has a background in radio.
Mm-hmm. No way. That's yeah. why she's wealthy.
I know. Yeah, that's actually how my husband met. We both worked at a local news talk radio station here in Chapel Hill when I first moved to North Carolina it was like 10 years ago.
Wow, gets in your blood, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes.
And you have kind of a cool story that you've told over, you know, the years about how you had to like work four jobs to get out of debt. And yeah. I mean, life has brought you through a lot of experiences, it sounds like, Molly.
Yeah. You know, I didn't become a Christian until the age of 25. And for those doing the math, I'm actually, well, depending on when this airs, I'm about to turn 35. So, you know, just about a decade. But, you know, I grew up in an amazing home. My parents were amazing. They called themselves recovering Catholics. But they were both recovering alcoholics as well. And so they, for them, AA was their church. You know, my parents were absolutely believed in God and believed in Jesus, but I think because of the way of their upbringing, they were fearful of forcing me into anything in particular. So they kind of let me, you know, explore my faith. My mom passed away when I was a senior in high school, and that's a whole other story for another day. But that really begun to send me down a trajectory of a lot of poor decision making, and it wasn't the traditional poor decision making that I think people think of. A lot of people in their grief, they turn to things like drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things. That was not my story. My story was a lot of self-medicating through things like spending money and shopping and, you know, just going out to eat. And it was like death by a thousand cuts, if you know what I mean. I found myself in the summer of 2008. I was a year out of college. I was working as a high school teacher in Richmond, Virginia, and I was making $30,000 a year as a high school teacher. And I was $36,000 in consumer credit card debt. And I couldn't pay my rent. I couldn't pay the minimum payments on my bills. I was so far in over my head that I didn't know what I was going to do. And so that I went into a full on panic attack. It was bad. It was just a whole bad situation. And at the time I was so ashamed. I carried so much shame over the decisions that I had made and how I got myself into that situation. And I was just embarrassed and I didn't want to tell anybody. I carried this completely on my own. I didn't share anything with my family. I didn't share anything with my friends. I didn't tell my roommate. Nobody knew what I was going through. You know, through a series of events, eventually I moved to North Carolina, right after, like kind of at the peak of the recession, which was an incredibly wise decision because I couldn't get a job. And so there I am, broke. In a lot of debt and I couldn't get a job. And so I just started trying to do whatever I could. So I eventually got to the point where I was literally, like you said, I was working four jobs. So I was working at Anthropology at the mall. My first day, by the way, was on Black Friday. That was really, it was great. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Highly recommend starting a retail job on Black Friday. Highly recommend it. It's great. and my second job was I worked at a little art gallery and toy shop in Carrboro, North Carolina, where I lived. Then I was a food runner, hostess, and waitress at a local bar. And then I got this part-time marketing job at the local radio station. And so I kid you not, every single day, 7 days a week, I went to at least two of those jobs and for months. and it was backbreaking, soul crushing. It was horrible, but I had to do what I had to do to get out of the mess that I had gotten myself into. To kind of fast forward, the fall of 2010, I came to faith in Christ. I had gotten promoted at the radio station. I was able to start quitting some of the other jobs. And when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, I mean, nothing was the same after that. Everything changed for me. And it's not to say that like life was all like rainbows and unicorns, but it truly, my perspective changed, and just my entire life changed. I look back on who I am now 10 years later, and I don't even recognize that person that I was in 2010. I truly don't recognize her. And I'm so thankful that God brought me through all of that, because I don't think if I had not hit rock bottom, I don't think I would have reached out and finally said, all right, God, I'm going to try things your way. And it just, you know, I'm truly a walking example of the life change that can happen when you put your trust in Jesus.
And also when you're willing to say yes to things that you may not know exactly how to do.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
That's a beautiful story. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Molly is going to tell us about her favorite Chick-fil-A worker. Yes, she has a favorite. Do you? Stick around.
Before 2020, you probably never thought you'd have a collection of face masks, but that's just the world we live in right now. Well, make your mask stash more moveless with one of our cow print face masks. Right now, we're giving one away free with every order at ChickfilAPodcast.com. Use the code KIDMASK for a free children's mask, or coupon code ADULTMASK for a free adult mask. That's Kid Mask, all one word, or Adult Mask, all one word, to get your free cow print face mask. This offer is available while supplies last at ChickfilAPodcast.com.
Welcome back. We've been chatting with Molly Stillman, host of Business with Purpose podcast. And I will admit, my favorite podcasts are business podcasts. I don't know why. It's not like I have a successful business anywhere, but I just love it. Just saying.
Jim, you do. I mean, I don't think your wife will like you saying that your after school care business isn't successful.
Well, that's very successful, but she runs it.
Oh, so. Okay. Just wanted to clarify there. All right, Molly, you recently had your husband on your podcast to celebrate your 200th episode, and I loved it. And he talked about how you guys have this Monday tradition for lunch, and I was a little sad that it does not involve Chick-fil-A.
It does involve a certain chain burrito establishment. That is my other favorite restaurant in the entire world. So no shame. I still very much am Chick-fil-A red status. Okay. So
nice.
I clearly am going to Chick-fil-A enough. So.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you're a regular at Chick-fil-A because you have a favorite employee, I understand.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Miss Cynthia. Let me tell you about, shout out to Miss Cynthia at the Renaissance Village Chick-fil-A in Durham, North Carolina. And I guarantee you, if you are a parent or just a human in the Durham area and you have been to the Renaissance Chick-fil-A, I'm almost certain you know who Miss Cynthia is. She is truly one of like my favorite humans in the entire world. In fact, she's so loved and adored by the people in this community. A few years ago, we all, like a bunch of parents in the area, kind of pooled our money together and got her this big thank you card and gift card just to bless her, because she radiates love and joy. So she's, you know, one of the staff at that Chick-fil-A who does kind of the, you know, she kind of roams around the restaurant. I don't know what the exact title of that position is. But she gets to know the people that come in. She knows my kids' names. She is just like, the moment she sees me, she's like, baby, like she just gives me this big hug and she hugs my kids. But beyond that, she is one of those people that God has gifted the ability to really see what's going on inside of a person. And there are two instances in particular that I are etched in my mind forever and I will never forget. One being after my husband and I had experienced one of our second trimester pregnancy losses. I had taken my kids to the Chick-fil-A to just kind of eat and let them run in the play place. And I just needed to get out of the house. And I was in a really bad place. And Miss Cynthia comes up to the table and she hugs me right away. And she says, honey, what's wrong? Something's wrong. And I said, oh, you know, I'm fine. She said, honey, I see you all the time. Like, I know something's wrong. What's wrong? And I told her what happened. And on the spot, she stopped there and prayed over me. And it was like God knew in that moment that I needed her and I needed that prayer. And it wasn't like I was just sitting there eating. So it's not like I was doing anything, but she just knew. She knew that that I needed to be prayed over. And I'll never forget it. And then fast forward a couple months later, a dear friend of mine, her daughter was in the hospital having brain surgery. I had my kids and I was also watching my friend's son so she could be at the hospital with her daughter while her daughter was having brain surgery. Same thing. Like, we're just sitting there enjoying. Miss Cynthia comes up and she says, honey, what's wrong? And I said, well, my friend's daughter is having brain surgery right now. This is actually her brother. And yeah, it's just a really scary, you know, time. And she said, we're going to pray over it right now. And she just is just, she's not afraid to do that. She will sing happy birthday to people in the restaurant. She just, you walk in that place and you just feel like you're at home. And I'm so sad right now that our Chick-fil-A's are closed on the inside. So I haven't been able to see Miss Cynthia. And I just feel like a hole is in my heart.
Oh, she sounds like a rock star.
She's amazing. She really is amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure COVID has really, you know, made her miss a lot of the people that she saw regularly.
Yeah. Now, she has been like, she still obviously works there. So she's been kind of helping run food, but it's not the same. It's not the same to get those Miss Cynthia hugs and to see her. And yeah, she's amazing.
Sounds awesome. I know Jim has some favorite Chick-fil-A workers too.
Yeah, the one who takes my order is my favorite at the time.
Whoever that is. What about that one that always like fawns over you? And
they know me by name for some reason, since I'm there a lot, but that particular one by work had my order ready, which is, you know, kind of nice. Sometimes I wanted to change it up, but they'd already had it ready. So I went with it.
Oh, that's so sweet. It really does make a huge difference. And man, Miss Cynthia, she's got some giftings there that, you know, God's using in a really special way, you know, through a fast food restaurant. So 100%. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also mentioned that Truett Cathy's grandson operated a Chick-fil-A in your area.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, up until like 2 weeks ago, like he and his wife and their family, they just moved back to Atlanta. But the two Chick-fil-A's right by my house were started and operated by Truett Cathy's grandson. But the funny thing about how we found out was so back before the Chick-fil-A, the CFA app was around. I don't know if your Chick-fil-A's had this, but our Chick-fil-A had this thing called the Chick-fil-A VIP Club. And it was like a secret card. So you had to know to ask for it. So you would go up to the register and you'd say like, I want to be a part of the, you know, like the silver card, or I can't remember exactly what it was called. I still have my card. And then they would give you this card and you would scan it every time you go. But again, it's not something that they advertised. And then after, I think like 10 times going, you became a member of the Chick-fil-A VIP club. And then you would get invited to a Chick-fil-A VIP dinner. And so my husband and my kid, and I think at the time we just had Lily. Yeah, it was my husband and my daughter and I went to this, you know, this Chick-fil-A VIP dinner, and like it's all free, and it's like our welcome to the Chick-fil-A VIP club. And the owner operator John White was there, and he was you know, kind of giving the story of Chick-fil-A, and he kept referring to Truett Cathy as granddad. And I just remember being like, that's really strange. Like, I wonder if just all owner operators like refer to Truett Cathy as granddad. Like, maybe that's just like something they all do. And then I was at one point, I just like was raised my hand and was like, point of clarification. Like, and then he was like, oh yeah, no, Truett is my grandfather. And I was like, oh, okay, this makes so much sense now. And so yeah, so he was their grandson. His mom is Truett's daughter.
Trudy.
Yeah, Trudy White. And yeah, so it just was it was hilarious. But then we ended up having this whole conversation with him about, you know, what it's like to own a Chick-fil-A and be a part of the family, you know, the business. But apparently, like, owner operators in the family actually have to do something else for 2 years in adulthood, like after college or whatever. They cannot work for Chick-fil-A for 2 years. And then if they want to be a part of the family business and be an owner operator, they have to go through the same process that anybody else does. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
And man, yeah, I would love for Truett Cathy to be my grandpa.
I know, but it was just so funny. I was like, does everybody call him granddad? I mean, maybe. I don't know.
That's super cute. Well, now that we know more about Molly's favorite Chick-fil-A worker, we're going to dig a little deeper with a round of food for thought. That's when we come back.
Hey, Jim Mann here. It's no secret, but I happen to be a social media expert. I've got tens of Instagram followers just to prove it. So be sure to follow at Chick-fil-A Podcast for an extra helping of the latest episode news, giveaways, and laughs. And I'm just trying to save you some embarrassment. You don't want to be the only one in your friends group that's not following. All right? I'm here for you. So follow us at Chick-fil-A Podcast. And welcome back. It's time for Food for Thought, Molly. Got 10 questions for you that you can need to answer quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Have you ever worked at a Chick-fil-A?
I have not.
Oh, okay, if you did work at Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to have?
Cashier, 100%.
Ooh, you like that money.
I like playing with cash registers. Always have. Always have.
Wow. What's your favorite sauce?
Buffalo and ranch mixed together.
Wow, that's unique. If you could only order one menu item for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Spicy chicken deluxe.
What menu item have you never tried?
The kale salad.
Oh, it's so healthy.
But it's kale. So. Oh, okay. When I'm going to Chick-fil-A, I don't want kale.
Okay, good point. Have you ever dressed up like a cow to get free chicken?
Every year.
Atta girl. What celebrity would you like to eat nuggets with?
Ooh, oh man, that's a good one. I would say, okay, I'll say Kev on stage. I interviewed him on my podcast and he's so funny that I just know that if we had chicken nuggets that like we'd be sitting there laughing and eating delicious food.
Perfect, good choice. It's always fun to eat while you're laughing.
Yeah.
Just don't drink while you're
laughing.
Yeah,
that would be a bad idea. Dinner.
Yeah. How many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Ooh, 12.
Okay, good. Good even number. How many points do you have on your Chick-fil-A rewards?
Lifetime earned, it's 11,295.
So you've been there a couple times.
There's a few.
All right, are you team nuggets or team strips?
Team nuggets.
All right.
I love it. I do have a bonus question, though.
Oh, okay.
Would you rather be stuck in the cow costume for 12 hours straight or listen to the instrumental worship song soundtrack nonstop for a week?
Listen to the instrumental worship song soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah.
You like it or you just think
it's less fine. Miserable? It's less revolting than being in a cow costume.
Awesome.
Wow.
What would you say, Jim?
I would listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the sweat.
Mm. I've been in the cow costume. It's not very comfortable.
Right, yeah.
But you don't like the soundtrack, is what you're saying.
It's not my favorite.
Oh, well. But hey, Molly, it's been a lot of fun being with you today, so thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was so, so much fun, and now I really want some Chick-fil-A.
Oh, me too. I am starving. But how can people connect with you?
You can find me on the internets at stillbeingmolly, stillbeingmolly.com, and I'm at Business With Purpose Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and you can just search Business With Purpose Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before we run and all get Chick-fil-A, I just want to say if you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend, take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you do me a favor? Pick up your phone, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with two N's, madeproductions.com.